Zvachim Perk Yudalad Mishnah Vav 14:6. The Mishnah continues straight where it left off. Once the Mishkan was relocated from Gilgal, Bo Lishilo, they relocated it to Shiloh. And at that point, Ne'esru HaBamos, once again, Bamos become forbidden. Now, in Shiloh, the nature of what they set up there, Lohaya Sham Tikra, it didn't have a roof of stone, if you will. It had sort of the ureas, the curtains, the fabric, the textile that was used on top of the Mishkan, now is what covered the Mishkan that was established there at Shiloh. Ela Baishel Avanim Milamatin V'Yurios Milamalan. How it was set up was the base of it was structured with stones, but then atop of it were these textile ureas above it. According to Yushalmi, the stones only went up to 10 tefachim high, and after that, the original Mishkan of the Midbar was put atop of those stones. V'haisa Menucha, and that was the Menucha of the Pasuk. As you recall, we said in the beginning, a couple of Mishnayos ago, that the Pasuk says, when Moshe Rabbeinu spoke about what essentially boils down to the permissibility of the Bamos, he said, Kilo va'atem ad ata el ha-manucha ve'el ha-nachla, because you haven't yet come, as you enter the land, you won't have come to the manucha or to the nachla, manucha meaning the place of rest, the resting place, and the nachla, the inheritance. So this is the manucha of that pasuk. As we said before, the Mishkan was established in Shiloh in a time of stability, and it sat there for 369 years. The Jews stopped their wandering, and stopped their conquest in a portion of the land, so they settled the land. That was the manucha, the period of rest. And at that point, this kicks in from the pasuk that once again, you since they have menucha, they're not allowed to bring bamos. Says the Mishnah further, kachay kachim nechalin lefnim in a climb. Now, once again, they're going to be bringing not just the national korbanos, but also even private korbanos for a yachid, a person who has got a chova, a specific obligation. So he brings his chatas now to the Mishkan Shil, where he couldn't do a Gilgal. And then the meat from the chatas, or for that matter, from the meat of like the national chatas also, like say in the Musaf, and same goes for Ashamos, same goes for Menachos, all those are eaten within the curtains, meaning they once again put like curtains wrapped around the courtyard of the Mishkan at Shiloh, and within those curtains is where the Kachim Kachim had to be eaten. As for Kachim Kalim, says the Mishnah, Kachim Kalim, U'maiser Sheni B'chol HaRoe. The place that was permitted to eat Kachim Kalim was anywhere within eyeshot. You could see the Mishkan of Shiloh. So that's really different than what we have in Yerushalayim, as will be later on, or B'chol Mokom we had in the previous Mishnah. The idea here is it's basically based on a pasuk, it's a drasha, if you will, or maybe it's just like a smachta. The point is that that was the din, how they applied it over there. Now, this Mishnah also mentions Maaser Sheni. Now, Maaser Sheni, of course, is that second tithe that's brought in years 1, 2, 4, and 5 of the agricultural cycle, and it's to be eaten within the walls of Yerushalayim. There's no Yerushalayim yet. So where is the place that Hashem wants the Maaser Sheni eaten? The answer is the analog to Yerushalayim, which is the same place where you can eat Kachim Kalim, which is within eyeshot, you can see the Mishkan in Shiloh. If you'll ask, wait a second, how come we didn't mention Maaser Sheni before? The answer is that until the completion of the Kibush and the Chiluk of Eretz Yisrael, those 14 years, there was no obligation to bring Trumas and Maestros to separate them. So once that process finished, now we do have Trumas and Maestros, we do have Maaser Sheni, and when Maaser Sheni is to be eaten, it must be eaten for those 369 years where the Mishkan was established at Shiloh, within eyeshot of Shiloh itself.